Well, as they say in Philadelphia, a tip of the hat low hat. Do you know what that is? Well, I'll tell you. Jimmy Hatlow was a guy, he wrote a cartoon called Little Iodine. Did you ever hear that? That's because you weren't born after World War II. But this guy, Jimmy Hatlow, would write his cartoon, and when I was a little kid, you know, like the Sunday comics, it was like a big deal. We were low on entertainment in those days. And at the end of the Sunday comic, there would always be a hit, a tip of the hat, low hat, and he would like tip his hat to somebody. Maybe he'd, you know, tip his hat to Roosevelt or Albert Schweitzer. So I'm giving a little tip of the hat, low hat to you all. So I'm your opening act.
What, again?
I ain't getting paid much, so I don't think I have to be that good. Actually, it's probably the other way around, right? High pressure, right? Well, I'm gonna read you this little piece. This little piece. And this is a little piece called Twin Death. "9/11. Awoke to the sound of a passenger plane singing its end. Awoke to the sensation of spirits, a purgatory of souls ascending the billowing smoke and ash filling the sky at the base of my street. They are gone, the twin posts that anchored our city. An hour before I waved goodbye to my daughter heading for school, I sat on my stoop, gazing at them sleepily, disinterested, then returned to my slumber in the arms of my love. 9/12. Awoke to the sound of F-15s and helicopters circling above, drawing me from the bed into the street. The towers are gone, and the skin of our sky is wounded. They are gone. What form of intelligence has committed this deed? What portrait could I paint? What lines might I draw? From what human memory can I draw from? I can no longer picture them. On my wall are sheets of drawings abstracting the cross and the motion of resurrection. I remove them and set them away, taping up fresh sheets, returning to the street to think. Yellow streamers snake through the streets, wrapping my ankles. As I reach to free myself, I notice the light is different, the way it falls on the buildings and on the back of my hand. Momentarily inspired, I pocket some streamers and head back. Do not cross, do not cross, do not cross. Taping the yellow strip across the white sheets of paper, I find I am unable to draw one line. It should be so simple, child's play to trace their dual silhouette, but I can't. I'm afraid that I won't do it right. I'm afraid that art is useless. They are gone, and all those people. I keep sitting on my stoop looking towards the right to where they were, thinking they will reappear. A day's businessman impeccably dressed, save for the white dust cover in his shoes, passes. He doesn't seem to know where he's going, but his shoes tell where he has been. I think of Picasso and how he reacted to the bombing of Guernica, how he translated his pain and horror into a monumental work that moves and teaches us to this day. I return to my wall. If you look at the dust, one can see towers where there are no towers, like the amputee feeling the pain of phantom limbs. I never even really liked them. I protested their construction. I was empire loyal, resenting anything that might eclipse her. But through the years, I don't know, I not only accepted, but I came to love them. It seemed wonderful because there were two. You know, when I was a little kid, I used to go if ever I was in a store and there would be like, say there was like one plastic snowman, if he wasn't near another one, I'd go find one and put one there so they'd have a friend. I'd do it with toothbrushes, anything. 9:13, awoke to the cries of USA, USA, nationalism is brewing, flags are flying. The sight of them fills me with conflict, for ours is a global concern. We are on human time. We are New York City, a thoroughly human city. Diversity is our pride. Humanity is our duty to offer one's hand, one's bread, one's prayer, and one's human love with no distinction of faith, party, or nationality. Dawn is yet to break, and I wake to sirens and thunder and the rain against the skylights. Volunteers' voices carry through the stage set of our streets. Driven to be among them, I rise, dress quickly, gather up my required identification, and I enter into another world. Lines of emergency vehicles are exiting, moving south. Irrationally attached to our checkpoint, now unmanned, I touch the discarded barricade, draped in rain-soaked streamers, the same yellow streamers that stretch across the white sheets adorning my wall. A face mask hangs on the edge of the long sawhorse that has restricted our street. The still life of the hour. Lights cease flashing. The rain dissipates. Houston Street reopens. The citizens reclaim Sixth Avenue. Only blocks away, workers mobilize. Rescuers continue through the night. Men cry out to other men. I know nothing of the pain of their labors, what their eyes have seen, what their hands have clawed through. Jean Genet would have known how to glorify those calloused hands. I cannot even offer to shake them. I feel conspicuously invisible, dressed so poorly in the pre-dawn of national mourning. When the sun rises, I shall dress in white, with a respect for the ash veiling our city, the ash of our cremated towers. 9:14, a day of national mourning. It is a morning for mourning. We, the people of the city, awaken to the rain. The God of Abraham is weeping. Allah is weeping. The feet of Jesus and Muhammad are wet with tears, and the people bow and grasp the damp earth. A day of mourning, and for what shall we mourn? The humanity and the humanity invested in its architecture? The fate of the innocent Afghan peoples? Shall we mourn our inability as a people to communicate? We are still the children of Babel, speaking in divided tongues, unable to comprehend one another. The cries amongst the rubble of that colossal wreck are our own. Babel's tower possessed the collective imagination of man, but they unlawfully penetrated the dreams of God. Their inability to communicate was confounded to punish them for a lack of humility. Perhaps when we humble ourselves, as a people, maybe we will communicate again. 9:15. Once, in another century, I penned with arrogance, I'm an American artist, and I have no guilt. Now I feel compelled to utter, I'm an American artist, and I feel guilty about everything. In spite of this, I will not turn away, and I will keep working. This I perceive as duty, as I pray to God that in days to come, I will not awake and rise with the blood of the Afghan people dripping from my American hands. 9:16. May we ask for wisdom, and in possessing it, the moral courage to exercise it. May we ask to be emptied of hate so to attain harmony. May we strive to comprehend one another. 9:17. For the first time since the attack, I enter a subway. I go as far as Broadway and NASA, and I walk to Liberty Street. I'm my first view of Ground Zero. I come here with some reservation, as I do not wish to trespass, but I want some answer to a question vaguely formed. Like a child, I want to see them, or what is left of them, and say goodbye. I also believe They will tell me something of why I care for them so much, or why I miss them, and how they should be remembered. In this pursuit, I am granted this vision. From Liberty Street, I see their skeletal remains, resembling Bruegel's portrait of Babel. Atop them, two twisted fingers reach heavenward in the perfect shape of a V, the simple sign for peace. We return to work. We are wisely counseled to engage in our daily human tasks. I know now why I mourn our towers. Because they were young, and they symbolized the optimistic strength of our young nation. My wall has twin sheets of paper, and there is no image. I have decided that is my portrait, not what we see, what we don't see, and what we will never see again. Two pure white sheets, empty as the sky, to the right of my stoop at the base up my street. children that falls from the sky. Tahitaya, Tahitaya. Fire from heaven, from the Most High, from the Father, Tahitaya. We shall live again. Crew of Ironweed is here tonight. 50? I knew that. Most of it, but thank you. Next time I do it, I'll know. Last night, any of you? Yeah. I had to make sure things were more fucked up tonight. I was a little too so professional last night. I started feeling weird. going to be really unprofessional. All right, this is a work in progress. And, you're the guinea pigs.
Boy, boy.
And, always like, it's always been a personal event to try to start new work here in our city. And, because when you're doing something new that you don't really have done and you're still working on it, it's good to be humiliated in your own town. Thanks.
Try deep.
All right, so anyway, see what I got here. I gotta go over my notes. An American with a vision of a religion pure in its extent, studied in madrasa, remote corner of Pakistan, tall, bearded, almost a man, a model student seeking the devout Muslim life, slept on a bed of Indian rope, full of hope, poor dope, for an absolute system, mathematically pure, on the northwest frontier, province, Pakistan, no longer alone until the heat and dust of April drove him away into the cooler mountains, still seeking Islam's fountain, 7 months premature, poor fella. As Easter and Passover passed over, he journeyed to Afghanistan in search of the pure. He gave them everything. He gave them his heart. He was so sure, so sure. Poor fella, poor fella. Emerging on a Saturday through a ruined avenue, he crept out from underground, Abdul Hamid. 6 nights of darkness into the pine trees and debris, and 6 nights of darkness without his Catholic father and his Buddhist mother, separating treason and dissent. 16 to be a Quranic scholar. 19 to Yemen to learn Arabic. Went to Pakistan to study the Quran. The Quran, pale as the sky. It attracted his heart. It attracted his heart. It attracted his heart. Light down. so I can think. Pretty, but what is? Does it matter if your heart's in tatters, my climbing boy? Oh, you'll climb, rung by rung, each rung a song you've sung.
that. She loved her playing on that. She just loved that Hank Williams one. She was really taken with that. And what she said? She said, your grandfather, Frank B. Williams, would have been mighty proud to hear that. Because he was, you know, played piano and was like, loved country music.
That the eye sees the simple act of hanging clothes on a line or waiting for a bus, just wiping one's brow aren't worth all of these things, a moment of our consideration. When you go outside and walk on the street, you walk and you're hearing traffic, you're hearing people talking and arguing, children laughing, chirping, someone going by with a boombox, hundreds of different sounds. The eye sees a bit of the Empire State Building, the street, your feet as they're walking, the texture of your skin. Plus, you have your own interior world, layer after layer of simple human existence. And we feel and sense simultaneousness of life. Is another thing that we're exploring.
Robert and I did this little movie, Still Moving. Did you ever see it? No, we did it. 78, I think. It's black and white. It's probably 16 millimeter. But I did the soundtrack music for it. It wasn't as good as this, but
boy, the excitement is just crackling. Beach is a beach where women late afternoon, dreaming of town. She said the crop broke, sent you away. I was looking for you, but you were gone, gone. Well, if you look at 2001 and what was visualized, if I remember correctly, what was visualized was really the destruction of the planet Earth. So, actually, we're doing pretty good. A few teeth knocked out here and there, but... Nice sleep, God. God has given yourself to keep. All of the power that turns into flame ignites, excites in a single name.
Thank you.
Sorry. Well, it's a good thing I have this sturdy shore. 58? Yeah. This sturdy Shure 58 microphone donated to me by the Shure Microphone Company. And I'm sure that they like me so much that if I just fuck my microphone up by dropping it, they'll send me another! Because it's the Shure 58. Cost $58. And in 1968, it was Mix Mic. But now, it's my mic! Wasn't that brazen advertising? But you know what? I only did it because I believe in my microphone. I truly do.
All that glitters!
Left the scene, and the boy was just standing there alone, looking at the shiny red tractor that him and his daddy used to sit inside and circle the blue fields and grease the night. It was as someone had spread butter on all the fine points of the stars, because when he looked up, they started to slip. And then he put his head in the crooks of his arms, and he started to... Drift to the valley of a shore. Let the ship's light open, and he went inside of it and saw his daddy on the control boards streaming. And he was very different tonight, cause he was not human. He was not human. Little boy's face lit up with such naked joy that the sun burned around his lids, and his eyes were like two suns, white lids, white opals, seeing everything just a little bit too clearly. And he looked around, and there was no black ship in sight, no black funeral cars, nothing except for him, the raven. And he fell on his knees, and he cried up and looked up, cried out, "No! Daddy! Daddy!
Yeah.
nobody there except for the birds around the New England farm, and they gathered in all directions. Like roses, they scattered, and they were like commons grass coming in together into the head of a shaman bouquet. Slit his nose, and all the others went shooting, and he saw the lights of traffic beckoning like the hands of fate. Grabbed them out his cheeks, and taken out his breath. Then the wind, everything was twisted, and he said, oh, I won't give up. Cried out as he stretched the sky, wishing it all like latex cartoon. And am I all alone in this generation? Will we just be dreaming of animation night and day? And I won't let up, and I, until I see them coming in. Oh, I couldn't hear them before, but I hear them now. It's a radar scope, and all silver and platinum lights, moving in like black ships. They were moving in the streets of them. He put up his hand. Just two white opals, and he looked up, and the rays shut, and he saw Raven coming in, and he crawled. Shada do way. Well, we'd like to do for you. If I rule, why was I doing my laundry at 7:30 this evening? Actually, I did my laundry because I just wanted to get one more load in for 2001. If you will, the picture, you and I engaged in a kiss. The sweater my body covers you. Come on, darling, can you picture? Take, if you will, a courtyard, an ocean of violets so blue.
She's never sad, she's fighting.
That, of course, was a little song by whatever the fuck his name is. It's the call of the wild geese. Why, maybe it brings me to mind the Sacagawea story. I'll give you the short form. Sacagawea, when I was a little kid, I really loved her. Actually, I got really in big trouble reading the Sacagawea story. I was in first grade, and I was an avid reader. And the class was learning Dick and Jane, and I had long passed Dick and Jane. I mean, actually, I looked at that Dick and Jane book, didn't even open it, and went, and it was red. So anyway, I hid the Sacagawea story inside my Dick and Jane book. It was called Winged Moccasins, and I love this story. I got caught reading it, and of course I got put in the corner, and it was reading ahead. Very, very
bad.
So anyway, teacher said, "Patty Lee, go and sit in the corner." So I sat in the corner, and of course, I could not keep myself still for a minute. So, I never could sit still. My knees just sitting in the corner. Anyway, Sacagawea was, of course, the Indian that helped Lewis and Clark. But forget about that part. The part I like is when Sacagawea was a little girl, she used to run so fast. She was the fastest runner. She could run faster than all the boys. And they said that she used to run so fast that it was as if she had winged moccasins. Isn't that nice? Yeah. So do you know we have those Sacagawea dollars? That's Sacagawea on the dollars, yeah. And you know what? Nobody ever heard of her when I was a kid. I even got hollered at for reading about her, and now she's on the dollar! I was so ahead of my time. Anyway, what's next? It's time to get back to work.
Taste. Now the uniform, give me
Inside the hole is going to be like this, an incredible expansive light, and each one of you is going to feel, won't hurt, it'll be a lot less worse than a polio shot. You're going to feel a little like that, and all the shit, all the toxins are going to go. And then we're going to be in 2002, man, and we're going to be fucking alive. And it's all going to happen in about lights. Where did those lights come from?
They went away.
Sorry about that.
You might not play mine.
Okay, listen. We got about 5 minutes. Let's do this little song together. And after we're done the song, it'll almost be time. And then we're all gonna turn into grasshoppers. Hey, don't forget to sing along. Because I know there's a lot of people from New Jersey here. I'm counting on you. Because every asshole from New Jersey knows how to sing. I'm one of them. Oh. flesh was lean, and the women moved forward like piranhas in a stream, and they laid themselves before me. What a treat! The New Year's only 5 minutes old and I'm already fucked up. Just give me a minute. I gotta get my shit together. But I'll have to tell you something. Even though I seem untogether, it only takes me a couple of minutes to get my shit together. Like when I was in high school, back then, you know, in the last century, all the girls used to wear like these beehive hairdos, you know? Used to take them like 7 hours to get ready. We'd go to the football game on Saturday afternoons, you know. I put on my old pants, my black sweatshirt, and braid my hair. 4.5 minutes. go over to Barbara Beatty's house. 3.5 hours.
Yes.
The first quarter's gone by. We're getting toward halftime. Anyway, the moral of the story is there is no moral of the story. I'm just trying to kill time. The pressure's on because the big disco band has to come on. I'm really sorry, I can't find my glasses. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I found them. They were wrapped inside a $20 bill. Wonder how that got there. I'll read this thing while they're getting. Melody. Melody, a beautiful name for a beautiful girl. What else do we got? Oh, Happy New Year, Rosemary. Happy New Year, Mommy. Happy New Year, Jackson and Jesse. Happy New Year, everybody I know and like, and everybody I don't like. And, okay. I'm ready. Mom, I'm ready. I know this seems like a serious mental lapse, but really, I'm just getting you prepared. I'm getting you prepared for our little New Year's present to you. And this is just for you guys. This is only for you guys. And I'm telling you, we were all really counting on you being really fucked up by now. Listen, my children, and you shall hear the sound of your own steps, the sound of your hereafter. Memory awaits and turns to greet you, draping its banner across your wrists. Wake up, arms, delicate feet, for as one to march the streets, each alone, each part of another. Your steps shall ring, shall raise the cloud, and they will hear, will hear, voice of the one and the one and the one, as it has never been uttered before, for something greater yet to come than the hour of the prophets in their great cities. For the people of Nineveh fell to their knees, heeding the cry of Jonah, united, covering themselves in sackcloth and ashes and calling to their God. And all their hearts were as one heart, and all their voices were as one voice. God heard them and his mind was moved. Yet something greater will come to pass. And who will call and what will call? And what will they call? Will they call to God, the air, the fowl? It will not matter if the call is true. They shall call, they call, and this is known. One voice and each another shall enter the dead, the living flower, enter forms that we knew not, to be felt by sea, by air, by earth, and shall be an enamel elemental pledge. This is our birthright. This is our charge. We have given over to others, and they have not done well. and the forests mourn, the leaves fall, swaddling babes watch and wonder as their fathers of our spirit nations dance in the streets in celebration as the mountains turn pale from their nuclear hand and they have not done well. Now, my children, you must overturn the tables, deliver the future from material rule. For the only rule to be considered is the 11th commandment, to love one another. And this is our covenant across your wrists. This offering is yours to adore, adorn, to bury, to burn, upon a mound, to hail, to set away. Our flag, it is merely a cloth, merely our colors, invested with the love of a people, all their hopes and dreams. It has its excellence, yet it is nothing. It shall not be a tyranny above us, nor should God, nor love, nor nature. Yet we hold as our pleasure this tender honor that we acknowledge the individual and the common ground formed. And if our cloth be raised and lowered half-mast, what does this tell us? An individual is passed, saluted and mourned by his countrymen. This ritual extends to us all, for we are all the individual, no unknown, no insignificant one, nor insignificant labor, nor act of charity. Each has a story to be told and retold, which shall be a glowing thread in the fabric of man, and the children shall march and bring the colors forward, investing within them the redeeming blood of their revolutionary hearts.
Beep.
it looks like this is going to be a rough fucking year. But you know what? We're ready for it. Oh, excuse me. I was supposed to leave. Goodbye. Lucky, you know why? I didn't tell one joke all night. And I'm not gonna start now. Alright. Are you ready? People, I'm telling you, we're in for a rough time. But I'm with you. I'm fucking with you. You know senses stripped. Feel within. What is within? But those who love us, they come down through the ages. Our ancestors, they call. They call from pole to pole, from star to star, they call. Come here, come here, boy. Come here, my child, my girl, my one. It's eternal love existing within. Without your sense of sight, smell, hearing, taste, touch, there is still another sense. There is still another sense. The all-knowing ever since within. And knows all. Knows all. The ancestors send it to us. It's the spirit within. It's within our hearts. It's in our hearts. It's in our hearts. It's in our hearts. Now have a heart. Have a heart. Have a heart. Have a heart. Well, if they can't get their shit together and wind up destroying Jerusalem, if they destroy the great mosques, the great sepulchers, the great walls, the great Buddhas, the great rock, if it all goes, don't forget, we got a new religion coming up. This religion has no rules, no regulations. You don't get anything, nor do you lose anything. All you have to do is mindlessly sing its theme song. And it's sort of like, you know, the pods, an invasion of the body snatchers. Everybody's on the hill, in the green hills, mindlessly singing a little song. And then we'll all be one. We'll be happy. So you ready?
Yeah.
All right, but I'm telling you, once you sing the song, things will change. You're gonna start doing laundry. You're gonna start saying, doing things like, honey, would you like me to make you a cup of coffee? How about some toast?